Everybody, I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. May 28th, Thursday. We have College World Series baseball to check out on Friday. UW-Milwaukee versus Auburn. College World Series. 64 teams. Auburn Regional. Friday, May 29th. Noon on ESPN Plus. Milwaukee is qualified by way of winning the Horizon League tournament. They were 25-31 this year overall. In conference, they were 14-10, but they ended on a 7-game winning streak, including the action of the Horizon League tournament. Now, we're going to talk on this episode with Dylan O'Connell. He's a junior outfielder. He was all tournament in the Horizon League tournament. He was all league first team in the Horizon League. He's hit like 8 home runs this season. He's got like 40 stolen bases. Really good player, obviously, with all the accolades. And we'll talk to him. He's a junior. This is his first year with Milwaukee, though. He's previously attended Western Kentucky and St. Thomas. So from Eau Claire, finally makes his way to Milwaukee, gets in the NCAA tournament, and that is all going to start for Milwaukee, at least, on Friday. Now, it works. You know the College World Series. You sometimes watch it, and you're like, oh, I wish Wisconsin had a team like I do. But we do, and it's Milwaukee. Now, will they go to Omaha? There's a long journey to get there. This is how it works. I had to look this up myself. There are 16 different regional sites, and each host, I'm reading this, a 4-team double elimination bracket, all right? So you're eliminated once you lose twice, and then the team that is remaining goes to the next round, which would be the super regionals. In the super regionals, we're down to the Sweet 16, and it's 8 best-of-3 series played on the campus sites of the higher seeded teams. That's why they're in Auburn right now. The first team to win 2, it's best of 3, then goes to the College World Series, which is 8 teams go to Omaha. They're split into 2 separate 4-team double elimination brackets. The winners then of the 2 brackets go to the finals and they play a best of 3. If the Milwaukee Panthers get to Omaha, I am going. We will be there. Absolutely. So what we do know that they have, because that's a ways away, they have Auburn. And then if they lose, they'll play the loser of Central Florida, NC State. If they win, they'll play the winner of Central Florida, NC State. And the teams will keep playing until they figure out which team loses twice. So they could play Auburn and play them again at some point. We're going to find out, but their first game, and the games are going to be this weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, their first game is Friday, May 29th at noon. The Milwaukee Panthers at Auburn in the first round of the College World Series, essentially, or at least the NCAA tournament for college baseball. So on this episode, and there's going to be 2 different YouTubes posted on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, Dylan O'Connell will join us for about 10 minutes. And then I want to talk about promotion and relegation. There's a lot of talk, and there always is. It's never like a top topic. It's like a little underlying thing where sometimes we wonder, how do you eliminate tanking? Promotion, relegation, could it work? Could you send teams to a lower division in the NFL, in MLB, in MLS, in the NBA? Because you got one commissioner, Adam Silver, that is like trying to European soccerify his sport. He just doesn't have the tools to do it. You could start promotion relegation. You have the infrastructure to start it in a few sports tomorrow. And then there's a few sports that it's very unlikely. There is a way for the NFL to do it if they team up with college. So I'm going to discuss that from the hip in a little bit. Just lay some thoughts out there. And that'll be after Dylan joins us here momentarily. So the podcast today, Dylan O'Connell, Milwaukee Panthers. We'll talk some promotion relegation. And then we're not that far away also from the World Cup. And I'll be doing some more World Cup type stuff here in the future and throughout the summer. So very excited about what is to come. That means the Brewers tailgate that I want to do still that I have not done anything with because I'm a piece of shit. Going to look at an August date. And I'll have more on that when I have more on that. We're brought to you by Happy Place M. Promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order. Your THC seltzers, your gummies, whatever you need to help drift or relax or unwind at the end of today or any day. You can go to happyplacehemp.com. You can hook up with the guys in Muskego. Absolutely. But you can also order. And with the promo code, unless you order like one seltzer, they'll usually cover the shipping for you as well. The gummies, and they ship quickly also, which is a good thing. Happy Place Hemp. You don't need to drive. You can get the stuff you need. It works. Happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART at checkout. And as always, we're also brought to you by Carl's Place and Dan Shaney Insurance. This is Into the Winklerverse on a random Thursday. Dylan O'Connell joins us. This is an incredible achievement for you guys with Milwaukee. 7-game win streak to get here, Horizon League champs. Can you just take me through and everybody through the last couple of games and when this started to feel like it's happening, or what the team energy and motivation has been like these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think we got hot at the right time. I think around like a 7-game win streak. You know, start to the season didn't start off the way that we absolutely wanted it to, but kind of the good thing about our league is the only baseball that really matters is the conference tournament. So, and we kind of knew that going in. You know, we won the first two games, and then winning the third one, knowing like this could be it. And then, yeah, that whole thing kind of happened. We had a 3-1 lead going in the seventh. They scored three, top of the ninth, and then we said, all right, boys, we're not out of this. So then bottom of the ninth came up, had a leadoff walk, and then that home run kind of happened, and it was like we just did it.
It is crazy because we talk about this at least a lot in basketball, like these conferences with the one bid. It's like you play the regular season and you want to win. I mean, you go out there to win, but you do have the other goal at the end. So you're trying to win, but you're also – trying to get yourself ready and, you know, for the tournament and for maybe what's to come after that. Is that even something you think about like in February and March, or is it just, let's go out there, let's play, let's be the best we can, then get to the end of May. Hopefully it's all paid off. How do you try to, you know, that goal is there and you know that eventually is coming. So how does that motivate you throughout the other 3 months?
I think it comes down to just like stacking days and just stacking games. You know, you just start off the season, you start at the basics, and then you just want to keep stacking days as the games go on. You just want to have all the pieces put together by the time you're in the conference tournament. So I kind of think that's the motivation, just constantly getting better throughout the season.
I think people have already started this week. I mean, I'm jumping in at the end here, but people have already started being like, oh, what's going on here? And to bring up basketball again, I've talked to, you know, coach about that, is people like Milwaukee. There's a lot of alums, and Milwaukee has an incredible amount of pride when the teams like do something like this, have this kind of accomplishment. So I do think there's going to be a lot of eyes on you guys this weekend. Now you're far away down at Auburn for the weekend. Can you feel any of that yet? Do you know, have you heard, are people reaching out? Can you feel like Milwaukee being there with you or not?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we were fortunate enough to be able to go to the Milwaukee Brewers game, and they kind of did a little video tribute for us. And just throughout the whole game, we had people coming up to us being like, good luck, guys, good luck. Even some of the Brewers players are like, go get them. Like, so the whole community kind of like, it feels like they come together and just root for Milwaukee Athletics as one.
I always talk about there's like sleeper cells, like there's sleeper cells of Panthers fans. You just got to activate them. And this is a great way to activate them. What's the mindset coming into, you got Auburn first, and then you'll see what happens after that throughout the weekend. You guys have played though some tough competition earlier in the season, throughout the season, like you've done this before. So this experience of playing an SEC team, I don't think it should be that intimidating. What do you guys take into what you've done to be where you are now?
Yeah, no, we've played in this atmosphere before. I mean, our first three games were at Alex Box Stadium, and I don't think it gets any more electric than that with like 10,000 people yelling and stuff. So, and we don't have any pressure. All the pressure's on the other team, and we know that, and we're going to try to use that to our advantage for sure.
LSU, Duke, Minnesota. I mean, these guys were on the schedule. You guys didn't get a home game till what? End of March?
End of March, early April.
Does that test you guys too, playing on the road so much? That's got to help coming into this weekend.
Oh, for sure. We're always being the away team, feeling like, I mean, travel minimum fans, maybe max 20 of our fans at these away games. So we're used to people not cheering for us during the games. Is a good way to put it.
Yeah, that is a good way to put it. Dylan O'Connell here. How did you end up at Milwaukee? Because you grew up in Eau Claire, but then you bounced around a little bit, St. Thomas, Western Kentucky. How did you get here wearing the Panther hat that you are now?
I think it just came down to me wanting to represent the state of Wisconsin for my last couple of years of eligibility. And I was looking at the roster and the other dudes they brought in, and it seems like we have a loaded, heavy Wisconsin roster. So I think it's just like a pride thing, showing the other states that Wisconsin can be a baseball state. You don't have to be from somewhere down south or warm to play good baseball.
Was there consideration of Milwaukee after you graduated high school, or was it just something that, like you said, you got a little older and then you were looking around for how you wanted to finish?
No, I actually always joke around with our head coach Wags about this. I didn't hear anything from them out of high school. So I had one offer, and that was St. Thomas, and that's why I took it. So me and him always joke around about that.
What are you thinking of after this? I mean, are you thinking after this where you want to go? I mean, I know you're in college, you're studying, but are you thinking bigger things at all?
I'm just taking it one game at a time. Just focus on winning this one. It'd be pretty sweet if we could pull it out here. So that's all I'm focused on.
Like I said, you'll have the whole community around you. I'm excited to turn on the TV, spread the word, get it out there for sure. Can you think in advance? Because I'm already thinking, like, if they go. But it's got to be pitch by pitch, right? I mean, I'm just a stupid guy that's thinking the biggest possible things for you. But you guys have to play it.
I think baseball is one of those games where you absolutely cannot do that. Cannot overlook the opponent. And I'm sure Auburn's having that same conversation. Like, hey, you know, Milwaukee, they got under 500 record, but they're playing hot baseball. So we cannot overlook these dudes at all. And that's just the thing about baseball.
Do you think, like, you have to win against Auburn? Do you got to strike early? Because you said the pressure's on them, which I think it's got to be anytime.
Oh, for sure.
But you don't want to put the pressure on yourself either. Be like, well, if we're going to win this game, we got to strike early. Oh, it's the first inning, we haven't scored. Second inning, we haven't scored. Is there any of that going through your mind?
I think we just play our baseball. You know, we're here for a reason. We're playing good baseball right now, and I think we just got to play clean baseball, just take it pitch by pitch. Well, I mean, striking first would be nice, but if we don't, we're going to fight throughout all nine innings and see what happens.
This is the highest level of collegiate baseball in Wisconsin, with the Badgers not having a team. And so if you want to continue to represent Wisconsin, as you said you did, this is the place to do it. Whatever you guys do, I mean, it's going to be remembered. You'll be a team that people look back on. What is just the main thing that you guys are talking about? What is Coach talking about in terms of, this is what we want to do tomorrow? This is what we want to do today?
You know, I think it just comes down to just playing our baseball again and just being there for one another. You know, it's just, again, we're here for a reason. We're just going to play for each other, play our baseball, and we're just going to see what happens.
You have 40 steals on the season. Is that true?
Yep.
Can you describe to someone who had no athletic ability in baseball at all the different feeling between stealing a base and just beating out the throw and hitting a home run?
I think, you know, I think stealing a base gives me more adrenaline than hitting a home run. And that's kind of what, that's why I like it. You know, when I take off, when the pitcher starts throwing to home plate, it's just that adrenaline rush and it's head down. And it's like, I just need to get to second base. And I just love doing it. And it helps our team win games and score runs. So,
yeah, it's great action. You guys are playing good ball, hot ball. Hopefully you continue into the weekend and see what happens from there. Dylan, good luck. Thanks for a few minutes. And we'll be watching you.
Of course. Thank you.
This is Into the Winklerverse. I am Bart Winkler. I want to talk about promotion and relegation. Promotion and relegation is a concept used in soccer a lot all over the world. It's very exciting. It is the number one solution to eliminate tanking in sports. It is the number one solution. But it is not an American thing. And I don't think it's something that American sports could handle with the setup that has already been established. If you were ever going to do promotion and relegation in any American sport, you would need to completely shatter whatever you know about the sport as it is, as it has been, and as it most likely will be. Will there ever be promotion and relegation in American sports? The answer is no. So thanks for watching the video. But I'll discuss which sport may be the most likely for it to occur overseas, or here, rather. I should edit this out, but I'm not going to. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm still not going to do it. The problem with promotion relegation in America is the ownership structure of our sports will never allow it. You have people that buy in with very, very large fees to make sure that they can be a part of the sports that they have bought into. I mean, you're buying NFL franchises in the billions, NBA franchises reaching billions. If you want to buy a team, you're not talking millions of dollars anymore. You're talking billions. Even if you want to buy into some of these fresher, younger upstart leagues, like a volleyball or a pickleball or something like that, it's like $15, $20, $35 million to get in on that. It's not cheap to own a franchise in any sport, no matter how long it's been around or not. The sport that it's most likely to happen is the sport that it happens in all over the world, and that's soccer. And I'll get to that in a second. There are other sports that it does seem possible in. And I'll start with the NBA, because Adam Silver is a commissioner that is trying to European soccerify the NBA, which would work if he could do it. But he can't, because the structure is not compatible with what he's trying to do. He wants to, and he has done, a play-in tournament. He's done the NBA Cup. He's trying to take concepts that happen in European soccer, and I'll think mostly about the English Premier League for this, since my team that I support, West Ham, has been relegated to the Championship League, which is the second league. The Premier League's the first, and then the EFL Championship is the second. So West Ham, who has been in the Premier League for most of their existence and for most of the Premier League's existence, they dipped down once or twice. If they want to play Premier League soccer, the soccer you know, with Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United, and all this kind of stuff, they're going to have to place in the top of the Championship League, whether it's first, second, or then there's a playoff for the next batch of teams to get out. So next season for them is just like trying to get back up. And sometimes teams even fall further. Leicester City, who famously won about a decade ago, is 5,000-1 underdogs. They're in like the third division now. They had their run and they can't get back out of it. So the Premier League has this promotion relegation, as do other soccer leagues, and it causes these teams at the bottom to still have something to play for at the end of the season. And that's to not be sent down to another league. That is the thing that we are missing in American sports the most. We are missing incentive to play when you suck, we're missing incentive to try. Our incentive in American sports, if you're bad, is to get worse, because we in American sports abide by a very socialist concept, which is, hey, if you're really bad and having a hard time and struggling, you don't need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. In real life, you do, but not in sports. Because if you're really, really bad, we're going to give you the number one pick. We're going to give you the best player that's coming out available in this draft. And the better you do, the worse pick you're going to have. That is a weird concept with the way we run society here to then put in and agree to in sports. It should be, no, you suck. Leave. Get out of here. You can't hack it. Go figure it out and then come back when you're ready. That's what promotion and relegation is. So the Premier League is 20 teams. They send down three. My Hammers are one of them. So next year is going to be all about trying to get back up. And what sucks for West Ham is West Ham has spent a lot of money on bringing players in. They play at the old Olympic Stadium. They had a nice little ground, but then they wanted to get bigger. Tottenham was a team, the Spurs, that it would have been much funnier if they were relegated, because they built a NFL-style stadium to try to be one of these top clubs. West Ham is always going to ride in the middle when they're in the Premier League, except for, I guess, this year. But Tottenham, you know, these teams are putting in a lot of money and trying to be a top four club, be a Champions League club. And then if they were to, you can't have a second division team playing in these great stadiums. Like, what if the LA Rams build and the Chargers build SoFi, and then that's not even an NFL stadium? That would be absurd. That would be absurd. But that's the fun of it. And that's the challenge of it. So in the Premier League, yes, you do get relegated down. And so West Ham and the other teams, they're going to have to try to get back in. And it may take them years. It may take them 1 year. It may be a blip. It may take them a decade. They may never get back in to the top echelon of the league in their country. But it adds drama and it adds stakes to the teams at the bottom, because the last Sunday of the season, Arsenal had clinched earlier in the week, so they got to celebrate on Sunday, but every game was at the same time. And the drama was, who's going to get relegated? So the drama was with the teams at the bottom. Now, they don't have a playoff either. You win the league if you're on the top of the table. They have other playoffs. Like, they'll go to the top teams, go to the Champions League, and then there's the other cups, and Arsenal's actually in the Champions League final coming up. So there's a lot of different ways you can win, but if you want to be in that Premier League, okay, promotion relegation has been established. So what American sport could that work in? You have to look at the infrastructure. You have to look at how hard it is to play the sport. You have to look at would the sport get support from fans? And I think the NBA could pull it off. I think MLB could pull it off. I think soccer definitely could pull it off. If we started from scratch. So the most likely league that can still do it is Major League Soccer. This was founded, they kicked off in 1996. Now, one of the problems that I have with Major League Soccer is they have turned into a pyramid scheme. They don't make a lot of their money on TV revenue. They don't make a lot of their money at the gate. The league as a whole has made a good chunk of its money by expansion fees. You want to be in our league? $500 million. More money comes into the league. They're at 30 teams. They're still looking to expand. They may be up to 40. It's going to be absurd. And the owners that have bought into these teams bought in under the pretense, we're in. We bought into Major League Soccer. We're not buying in and then you're going to pull the rug out from us 4 years later and say, oh, you're not in Major League Soccer anymore. So getting all these people to agree to it is the biggest challenge of promotion relegation and probably why we won't see it ever. I still think it is possible. The USL is a separate league. This is the league Ford Madison's in it. Pittsburgh is a really good team that you may have seen in it. There's these other teams that you may have heard of that have this other league that's separate from MLS. Sometimes they do play each other in the US Open Cup, which is a tournament of all the soccer in America, which is the closest we get to anything European in that regard. And what the NBA is trying to do with the NBA Cup, the problem is they're just playing people in their own league. If you want to do a real NBA Cup, you have to play other basketball teams from outside the NBA. If you want to do that kind of format, there are no other teams other than the G League, which those are NBA feeder teams, a big reason why immediately you think, well, baseball's got the infrastructure to do it, but it's all a farm system. And I'll get into that too, of course. But with soccer, if the USL, this separate league, which is instituting promotion relegation in their three divisions, if that becomes a hit and really works, Major League Soccer may be forced to merge or combine. What the USL needs to do is have like an AFL kind of rise where the NFL was forced to merge, or an ABA kind of rise where the NBA was forced to merge, and then take some concepts and blend it to figure out who's going to be at the top and move forward. I think there's an outside chance of that happening within the next 20 years. I do, especially if soccer fans continue to demand promotion relegation. And I think it would take soccer to another level in the American sports scene. We're coming up on a World Cup here where you're going to hear a lot of people complaining, why do we care? What's this soccer? What are the same things that always happen? And now it's in the United States, so it's going to be even more obnoxious. I am so jacked for it. I'm so excited. There's going to be parties that I'm going to be attending at Tom's Watch Bar, downtown Milwaukee. There's ways that you can get in on that. I'll share that. They're a part of the pod this summer. So I'm really excited for that. But there's going to be a lot of the nonsense outside of, regarding the World Cup. But it can happen with soccer because you have so many teams established already. Now think of the team in Madison. The team in Madison draws about 5,000 people to their regular season games. They've got a really good base there, a really good core, and they've got passionate fans, and they do a really good job putting on an entertaining product. Now, what they could do is if they win their league, suddenly they're in the MLS. Okay, suddenly they're in the MLS, and now you've got an MLS team in a 5,000-seat stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. Well, then they're going to put more money into the stadium, and then they're going to get bigger players. And then all of a sudden you have another huge market. You don't need to expand. The team, the town, the fans are doing it for you. More people will come to it, and then it will grow from there. And there are fifth division teams in England. Wrexham's a great example. Wrexham's fans were so passionate, but they're in like the fifth division. But that's their team because it's in their neighborhood. And the USA is so big. It's so vast. We can do this here. We can do this here. We can have clubs. We have clubs. We have the clubs. We have the clubs. You can put all 200 soccer clubs in the same league right now in promotion relegation, and it would work. It would be great. And you have the Chicago Fire, but then you have other Chicago teams. Chicago House is like a really lower level. Okay, but you're going to have House fans and you're going to have Fire fans. Well, can you have more than one team in one city? London's got like half the Premier League. Yes, you can. It's not just the London Hammers. It's West Ham. It's that part of London. They have their own. You could have rival teams in Milwaukee. You could have like 15 teams in New York at different divisions. It would be so phenomenal if we had promotion relegation in any sport. Soccer, I would love because it's my favorite sport. I guess it is. Huh. I said it. I mean, it is. And if it were, it would be, oh my God, It would be number one because I don't have the attachment to MLS. Sure, I like a team or I watch Messi or whatever, but I don't have the attachment. I would have more of an attachment to MLS if we had a team in Milwaukee, even if it was third division, that I knew someday could get to the MLS. Or in Madison, someday they could get to the MLS. You'd be more into it. You would. There are so many like hidden, suppressed, unknowing soccer fans in this country. If they had something to root for and knew that they could have dreams of grandeur someday. So it could work in soccer. Soccer's the one it could work in the easiest. The problem is MLS, especially under Don Garber, their commissioner, they want to be the NFL, but soccer. That's not going to work. They want to be the NFL, but soccer. I do credit them. They're moving to the other winter to fall or fall, you know, the other calendar, like the rest of the world. Right now they play in the summer. They're going to change that. So I credit them for that. There's some challenges to that too, but I do credit them for that because it should be, I mean, we're already on the metric system. We don't need our soccer to be, I mean, we call it soccer. We're one of the few places that even call it that. So soccer, yes, it could absolutely work. The likelihood of it happening, very slim. I give an outside chance to it happening if this other USL league can get momentum with that and really start to take some draw away from Major League Soccer. But this is like a 25-year thing that I think it would have to happen in. I've talked about the NBA. Could it work in the NBA? Absolutely it could. You could have people play basketball professionally, even at a lower level. It could absolutely work in the NBA. There's enough people in this country, and there's enough people to fill 200 soccer clubs. There's enough people that would play basketball. They don't have the infrastructure for it yet, but if we started this, it could work. The problem, again, is how do you take teams and owners that have paid so much money and say, you're not in this league anymore. Instead of the Washington Wizards getting the number one pick because they took last place via the lottery and everything else, you're not in the NBA anymore. The ownerships aren't going to go for it. I don't think fans would go for it right away until you saw how neat it was. You're not going to want to be one of the teams that get relegated, obviously. But to get promoted, there's no there. You see these videos online. There's like no greater joy. Winning a championship's pretty great, but getting promoted to the next league, I mean, these fans go absolutely nuts. The current setup in the NBA is there's the NBA and there's the G League, which are feeder teams for the NBA. You would have to then like separate the Milwaukee Bucks and the Wisconsin Herd. So then you lose the two-way stuff. You lose the fact that you have places you can go. You lose the summer league stuff. You lose a lot of the stuff, but if the Wisconsin Herd were their own independent thing and someday you could be like, oh man, we could get an NBA team in Oshkosh. I mean, that would be pretty insane. The teams, there's two levels you could do it. It's not going to ever happen in the NBA. Now, Adam Silver being a commissioner that's really trying to European soccerify his league, maybe there's like an outside chance. But the NBA is never going to do promotion relegation. We know that. Baseball has a really good structure set up because there are like 120 teams and there's markets that have recently lost minor league teams that would love to have them back in the fold. But what's the problem now is you have a lot of teams like the Brewers are buying ownership into some of their affiliates, the lower level teams. And then you'd have to fracture that out and give that up somehow. But the system's there. There's single A, double A, triple A, Major League Baseball. You could somehow work the Northwoods League or these independent leagues. Those are kind of different with the collegiate aspect of it. But there's enough teams. Like I'm thinking Fond du Lac, Wisconsin could all of a sudden have a Major League Baseball team if they were promoted up all these leagues. And it's not just like, oh, we're playing at this 1,000-seat stadium. It would be years of, hey, now we're up to this level. Now we're up to this level. Now we're up to this level. Now we're up. Now we're in the majors. And by the time you get in the majors, you've built out a 20,000 seat stadium and everything that comes along with that. I mean, you'd revitalize these areas because you'd essentially be bringing the chance of professional baseball to these little towns all over the country, which is exactly like what happens overseas, especially in England. So baseball's got it with single A, triple A, double A, and the major leagues. And baseball would be a lot more exciting if that final weekend teams were trying not to get sent down to triple A. But then the whole thing is messed up because baseball, you know, but that would be different too. You wouldn't have to draft teams and develop them. Major league teams, like let's say I'm the Brewers. Let's say Jackson Churio. Jackson Churio gets discovered by the Timber Rattlers, and they get him. Well, then the Brewers like him. So then they would purchase the rights, which puts more money into the Timber Rattlers. That's how some of these other teams get bigger. That's what Wrexham did. You buy these, or you have these players, and then you sell their rights off, and then you get more money. You can then get more players, and you're giving money to the lesser teams for the talent that they've discovered. So you would just change the entire aspect of how players come up through the system, right? Because like West Ham, they're going to probably have to sell off some of these guys, and then they're going to have to find other players. And then if those players get good, then they'll sell them off, and then they're going to get more money to then get the bigger. It could work. It's just we've already established 100 years of doing a different way, and I don't know that – I don't know. I think in baseball, baseball would be harder. Baseball would be harder. Baseball's got the infrastructure for it, but it would probably be harder just because I don't think – I think there's too much tradition. I think there's too much history. I don't see it ever happening. They could, if they wanted to, they have the infrastructure to start it next season. But I that's not going to happen. That would be sweet, but it's not going to happen. But then, like, if you have a bad year, you know, all of a sudden the Chicago White Sox win 40 games. Well, they're in AAA next year. And who knows what team comes up and plays at the next level. Maybe the Iowa Cubs and the Chicago Cubs are both in the NL Central all of a sudden. I don't know. It'd be interesting. The structure's there. It's not going to happen. Hockey, I think hockey could make it work as well. Kind of the same things with NBA or MLB. I know there's lower levels with the AHL and then I think the ECWL or something. There's other leagues that they could do it. There's just going to be a reluctance there. It's the same problems as these other leagues. NFL is a 0% chance. I think the biggest obstacle there, besides the ownership, is the talent. There is not enough professional football talent to fill 32 teams as it is. And you can just look at the quarterbacks as an example of that. Now, the UFL exists, but they're never going to, that's not going to happen. And that's even, no one cares. No one cares. I like try to care, and I always get into that first weekend. I watch like every game, and then I'm wearing an XFL shirt right now, actually, the old St. Louis Battlehawks XFL, even though they still exist. And they have the, like, you could imagine that team getting back into the NFL, but then there's teams like Birmingham and others where it's like we have a team here, the Columbus Aviators. We have a team here. NFL is just, it's never going to happen. It's not even worth wondering about it. The football where it could happen is college football. Now, it could happen in college football because you have 135 teams, and you could do like Big 10A, Big 10B, or SECA, SECB, or there's six that you could take the 40 best programs and then schedule them out that way, eliminate conferences altogether. You could do that. One issue with that is college is, you're there for 3-4 years and then you leave. There's already a lot of problems with the NIL and transfers and teams going all over the place that I don't think it would work. I think keeping players around would make it very difficult, even more so than it is now. And then, I mean, the infrastructure seemingly is there in college football, but I don't foresee it working just because of the small shelf life of how long the players are in the sport. Now, you could do a thing where you separate college football from the colleges, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, college football doesn't exist anymore. Ohio State is in the second division of football. And someday Ohio State could go up to the NFL. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Now you would start it. You would just start. Eventually, I do think with the money that comes in and then they have to divvy it out, I think there's a pretty decent chance that college football does separate from the college in terms of the practicality. It will still be Ohio State will still represent the university, but they won't have the affiliation. Like, they won't have to take money from the athletic department. They won't have to give money back. These football programs could be their own separate entity. That, I think, there's a possibility of happening. Because you look at the SEC, I mean, these teams are already bringing, they're already pro atmospheres. And some are better pro atmospheres than the actual pro teams. The Tennessee Volunteers, they're more of a pro atmosphere and environment and structure than the Tennessee Titans are. That could happen. It'd be really weird and a huge mind F to kind of grapple with that all of a sudden the Tennessee Volunteers are playing a game against the Kansas City Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. But you do have the infrastructure. You do have the history. You do have the teams. You could get something to work out. You could get something to work out there. That is with the challenges. So will promotion and relegation ever come to America? The answer seems to be an absolute, why are you even asking the question? There is no chance in hell that this is possible. There is an outside chance that soccer will eventually go there. Infrastructure-wise, you could do it in baseball tomorrow. And the wild card would be if NFL and college were like, let's kind of merge this thing together and see what would happen. And then you could still play the college games or the Division II games on Saturday, and then the Division I games, which would be the NFL, on Sunday. It could be interesting. Just some food for thought. I mean, if you get another one of these leagues, like, oh, we're going to do it in pickleball. We're going to do it in volleyball. No one cares. You'd have to try to put it into an established thing. And that's why I chose to talk about the professional leagues that we already have. It's interesting. I'd love to dream about it. I really want to see it in soccer. The sport is so much better with it. Soccer is made for promotion relegation, but I just don't see it happening in America anytime soon. And by that, I mean, like, the sun will explode before one of these leagues does pro rel. Thank you, as always, for stopping into the Winklerverse.